Good morning, everybody.
It's the Ounces of Information Podcast
by Central States Beverage Company.
It is the May Ounces of Information podcast brought to you by Central States. I am your host, Aaron Robinson. Later in the podcast, we have Martin City owner and founder Matt Moore in to discuss everything coming out from basically across the street from us to the Kansas City Metro and beyond. But first, with me today is our very own Tanya Lately. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
Good, good. It's been a heck of a week.
It has.
Been a heck of a month. It's been a heck of a year. It's been a heck of a couple years.
Yes, I would concur. Yes.
I'm very excited to have you in here today because I kind of brought it up to you yesterday that we in this industry kind of get too caught up in our own little bubbles. Like, I wake up today wondering what type of toxic atmosphere am I walking to on social media today? What do I got to deal with? And what market presence are we going to further out in Kansas City? And,
sure.
And that's just like the marketing side of it. And so so many people are focused on their sales routes or where their truck is going or what they've got to, you know, who they got to talk to today. But, you know, when you're focused on just what you do, you kind of tend to lose sight of like the bigger picture of what it takes to make what you do happen.
Sure.
And you're kind of the core backbone for all of that. Everybody listening, our sales team,
right.
it's I got to get beer here. I got to get beer there. I got to make sure it's on tap here or on
sure.
the shelves here. But you're the one that makes sure the beer is here to even go anywhere else.
I'm trying.
Pretty well, you know, all things considered. So I guess, you know, there's probably an easier way to start this or a more elementary way to start this. But,
sure.
You know, without being too, like, first grade about it, what do you do?
Well, oh, goodness. I mean, it's different for every supplier. But basically, I look out into our future and predict what we're going to sell. And based off of that, I place the orders. So to try to get beer here. So basically right now I'm working a month out. So June orders are going in, July orders are going in based off of what I'm predicting we're going to sell.
So, you know, all the people that complain about seasonal creep and pumpkin ales and Oktoberfest coming in August, you're dealing with that right now.
Yes.
So talk about seasonal creep.
Oh, goodness. Right. Like Oktoberfest in July, but it has to be gone by into September.
Exactly.
Early October for, you know, your winter seasonals to come in October. And then you're looking at spring seasonals in January, February. It's crazy.
How much has that become just like a standard tick for you to just know, like, how much we're going to need of a certain thing?
It's definitely learned. I've been here 14 years, so. Oh, goodness. I don't know. It's different, again, with every supplier. You know, our big guys, I've got it dialed in. Rob and I work together. Corey and I work together on kegs. I work with Paul with the craft stuff. But I don't know. It's known now. You know, it's just.
It is known.
Right. Well, you know, like on Boulevard, our sales managers kind of take care of that part. And they know what they need. But like with Miller Coors, I'm handling most of that based off of what, you know, Corey and Rob need and just manage it from there. I mean, it's a constant like checking and managing and did we get too much? Should we cut? Should we add? It's a vicious cycle.
It's way harder than I think a lot of people realize because, you know, there are still people out there that think beer can just show up the next day.
Right.
You know, when the actual brewing process takes weeks, if not months, if not years for
sure.
some of this stuff.
Sure.
So how much wiggle room do you actually have? Like how can you make a course correction?
Oh, goodness. Well, Molson Coors, for instance, I order every Monday. So every Monday between all of their products and PAPS, I'm looking at those every Monday. So it's 350 products.
Okay.
Yes.
No small feat.
Right. So I'm adjusting that way. So I'm forecasting with them on a weekly basis. Boulevard, I look at monthly, and I see if we're over, I'll ask the brewer if we can cut. If we're under, I ask if we can add. And sometimes they can accommodate, sometimes they can't. But it's a constant management and, you know, looking at stuff and seeing where we're at and you know, somebody will come in from the sales department like, oh my gosh, this is selling really well. You know, are we ready to back it up? And, you know, it's just, it's a constant.
So not to put this in like even further layman's terms, or maybe I guess to kind of do so. Is it just like an Amazon order where you basically go online and look at what they have on the portal and say, I need three of those?
Yes and no, okay. I guess. But you're not like looking for a delivery the next day. You're looking for delivery in a month, or you're looking for a delivery like with Molson Coors in 2 weeks and hoping you get it. And sometimes you don't, especially in this climate.
Yes. So. Yes. Good little segue here. Talking a little bit about this climate. Without going too far into COVID year 2020, how different was 2020?
Wow. It was way different. You know, when we all went into lockdown, we're like, oh, nobody's going to be buying beer. Nobody's going to be buying beer. Then it was like, everybody's buying beer. Not kegs, of course, but that was a big adjustment. I mean, I had breweries calling me and saying, you need to order more or what? What are you going to do? And I'm like, I have no idea. You tell me. I mean, what do you see? You know, so that was a big adjustment, trying to get the beer here initially. And then the brewery started running out of materials and couldn't get them themselves. So then you see like all these out of stocks and people are probably like, she is not doing anything. But trust me, I was. We just weren't getting it. I couldn't even tell you how many orders I placed that we didn't get. Along with then Molson Coors, you know, they had the Fort Worth Brewery freeze.
Uh-huh.
They had the hack. So like everything was behind on their stuff. Even worse than it was in the beginning. You know, they didn't have cans, and then they couldn't get us the beer because Fort Worth is our primary brewery for a lot of our stuff. And then they couldn't get us bottles. So it's a constant of spinning of the wheels. Like for instance, I think I'd written down at one point when last 4th of July, I believe, just on Miller Lite suitcases, I'd ordered like 45,000 cases in a 4 week period and we got like two.
Jeez.
All right.
That's a significant little dip there, you know.
Right.
Is that a very common, like, COVID aside, you know, we go through bottle shortages or we go through can shortages or there's a kegging issue. Is that a very common thing throughout the course of the year, just normally?
Well, more or less if they do, like, they shut down a package line to clean it or whatever. There might be, like, a little lull where you got to catch back up to the days of inventory you want to have on hand. But no, not really.
No, that's
fair. It's been kind of a mess, but
we get into it a little bit. Matt Moore and I, during the Martin City portion of this, talking about the difficulty of switching over a line from, you know, kegs and package to basically just package, because that was the only thing moving at the time. It was the only thing that could. Did you see that happen across the board, and were there difficulties, you know, between different breweries, or were there some that handled it incredibly well, or?
Boulevard was awesome.
Yeah.
In all respect. I mean, we didn't have a lull on much of their stuff. We did have some breaks we had to put on when stuff did start on-premise started opening back up on kegs, because then we're like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
They might shut back down.
Yeah.
But all in all, we didn't have a lot of out-of-stocks with them. I think they did a fantastic job. And Molson Coors, I mean, they've had a lot of tough times this year. So Martin City's been great.
Yeah.
It's just been tough, you know, for everybody.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about, like, you know, the beer world and the Molson Coors and the Boulevards and keg beer and things like that have seen its ups and downs and roller coasters in a normal year and in a pandemic year. What has seeing the rise of seltzer looked like from your perspective? I think I got a good sneak peek there.
You can't see my eye rolls right now. Yeah. I love seltzer, so it's crazy because I feel like there's so much seltzer in our warehouse right now, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But there's so much because everybody is coming out with a seltzer or another flavor of or another variety pack of. I just hope it all goes out. I don't feel like that circle of seltzer drinkers is getting any bigger.
For sure.
But there's a lot more product out there.
Yeah, it's
so,
like you're buying this new innovative product, but at what other product's expense?
Exactly.
Sort of thing. Gotcha.
Exactly. Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot, so drink up.
It's you know, I don't think there's anybody here in this company that is better qualified to answer this question, but it's basically up there with domestic numbers at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy considering we've gone through these craft revolutions and we've seen, you know, you got to bring in all of this product. You got to bring in all of this IPA.
Right.
Nothing like seltzer.
No, no, not since I've been here. It's crazy. And it's not done. I mean, it's still going.
Yeah. Who knows? You know, what are we going to do past Truly Punch? What's the next one?
Well, we have the Freeze Pops coming.
Okay.
Truly Lemonade Freeze Pops.
We got some breaking news going on in this podcast. That's very exciting. All right. Look who's getting their money's worth listening in today.
Coming soon.
No, that's very cool. So, you know, aside from ordering and making sure it's in the warehouse, once it gets here, what is the process from getting it from the truck that brought it here to the trucks that take it out to Kansas City?
That has a lot to do with the guys downstairs, but they have to weigh every case that comes in, measure all the dimensions, and then they have to slot it. So they have to find a spot for it in the warehouse. So when it's ordered, that's where the picker goes and grabs it to put it on the order to go out on the truck the next day. Well, first they have, they have to scan it in to our system first. And then go from there.
Make sure it's all there, you know, right, sort of thing.
Right.
Is it very tricky working in both Missouri and Kansas out of one warehouse?
Not to me anymore.
Yeah.
There's times that we split loads on smaller suppliers like Mother's, where they bring in a load and it just comes. It all comes to one spot.
You guys split it up.
Right. And the drivers get confused. They're like, no, we have to take this over here. We're like, well, it's the same building, so you're fine. But there's a lot of that confusion that goes on. But no, not a whole lot. On my end, anyway. I know there probably is on others, but.
Sure. I think it's crazy. Some people, you obviously don't even realize that if you receive a Kansas delivery, it has to come in on the Kansas side versus a Missouri on the Missouri side. And, yeah, those split trucks would be probably pretty frustrating.
Right. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's obviously a very serious position, and obviously we can't really do anything as a company without, you know, what you're making sure happens and keeping the world literally turning around here.
Sure.
What's the unwinding like? Is there a local pub that's seeing Tanya quite a bit or
my couch? No, I don't know. I just like to hang out with friends and have a good time, but yeah, it's stressful.
Yeah.
But I guess, I don't know, I've been doing it long enough that I'm constantly unwinding. I don't know what to say.
Aren't we all? There's a lot to relate to there.
I try.
Oh, if this year has proven anything, it is exactly that. Is there anything that we didn't cover that you really just want to bring up or anything?
I don't know. Go sell some beer.
Go sell some beer and seltzer and everything. And
yes,
kegs,
seltzer.
Whole thing.
Yes.
Make sure the seltzer gets out of there.
Please sell some seltzer.
Got a lot of it.
Yes.
Miss Tanya Ladley, thank you so very much
for
coming in.
Me.
Stick around. We got Matt Moore coming in from just a bit. And we'll talk to you then. With a lot of people, I have to tell them, you know, hey, as you're talking, keep the microphone right here. But with you, I don't think that's going to be any sort of an issue. Because a lot of people talk quiet.
I'm very good on radio.
We don't necessarily need, like, you know, NPR.
Yep. I got this.
Well, I feel like there really isn't any need to drag this on any further. May's edition of the Central States Ounces of Information podcast with me today is from just down the street. I feel like it's a well-placed driver. You can hit it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Maybe a Tiger 3.
Somebody. If I'm the caddy, I'll golf cart you there.
There we go.
Yes.
Stick a golf cart.
For someone.
Martin City Brewing founder, owner, Matt Moore.
Happy to be here, Robo.
I'm thrilled to have you.
I'm
in.
Sorry, that was Aaron Robinson. Happy to be here.
It doesn't matter. Whoever you want to call me.
The Scourge of St. Louis. That's what we call you in Martin City. So.
Oh, we need to have a talk. No, that's it's great. I'm glad to hear that, you know, you made it across the street and you're here to talk beer.
Yeah.
Here to talk 2021. This is actually really exciting for me because this is while this is your first appearance on the Central States podcast, this is not the first time you and I have had a conversation in this manner.
No, not by any means.
No, going back to, I want to say, 2014, 2015 Hop Fest.
Oh, man. Remember it like it was yesterday.
That was it. At that time, you know, Martin City was just opening. I think you guys were primarily draft at that point, too.
There was a photo that goes around. Wallace Wilson took it of me signing. My wife's shirt isn't pulled down, but, man, it is a It is a great photo from that beer festival. So that's one that is definitely living on in infamy in the social stratosphere.
Oh, shout out to Hopfest. Shout out to George Clark, Andy Lowell, yeah, and all you guys in there, Waldo, making that happen. Yep. That was a time. And it kind of harkens back to the growth of Martin City since we're sitting here talking 2014, 2015.
Right.
This one's fun for me, too, because I came to Kansas City and I came to Central States here in 2013. And so at that time, you know, come from Springfield. So Mothers was here and kind of starting to make its impact in Kansas City. Obviously, Boulevard was here. But otherwise, there wasn't much of a craft beer scene locally.
Yep.
Martin City really kind of just paved the way.
It was. Well, I wouldn't say that. But we were one of the first few. And we've been going hard ever since. So.
The original pub opened when?
2011.
Okay.
And it just got remodeled and redone this year.
Looks nice.
Took the chef of the Bristol, a good friend of mine. We've been trying to do something for a while, and it just, because of the pandemic, we postponed and did some other things, and then we finally got him and thought that was the best thing to do, was to repurpose the pub and bring, you know, a renewed life to it. So 10 years later, that has reopened, and it's you know, it's fantastic. You can get lobster, oysters, all sorts of seafood. Woo. And yeah, so
it looks real nice, man.
So that was 2011, and then the brewery is February of 14.
That's it. Okay. Yep. And that's the, and for those that don't know and you know aren't regularly driving through Martin City, A, you should, but B, it's literally right across the street from the original pub.
Yep.
Point one K.
Yeah, exactly.
and that's been going since 2014. Now, when you guys first started, I mean, we were talking. I remember Belgian Abbey.
Yep.
And I remember Belgian Blonde. And correct. I think there was an IPA. I forget the name of it.
When we started, it was just Blonde and Abbey. I mean, those were the two we bottled for a minute, and then switched to cans. And Hardway came. Yeah, probably about a year later. I mean, yeah, we didn't have an IPA that ever hit market in cans.
Now that one was the game changer.
Yeah, it was.
Let's. I don't know if we can. How much can we legally say about Hardway? Like, because there was a time there.
Yeah, no, we can. I mean, we can say it all now. I mean, it's we fought the big guys for the trademark and won and the liquid is insane. So it's done well for us.
I can't imagine many people listening that haven't at least tried in some capacity Hardway IPA. It is a just fantastic liquid, but let's that story just a little bit. This came from a certain big game and a big game commercial.
Yep.
And the use of the tagline "Brewed the hard way."
Correct.
Now, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but you were watching this commercial and thinking, I wonder if everybody's actually taken that name. Hardway IPA.
Yep.
Jumped
on the trademark. Yeah, registration. Yeah. JB actually texted me during the game, and he's like, dude, that should be, you know, it was just Martin City IPA at the time. So Chance, the paperwork jockey, jumped on it. And, yeah, the next day it was put in, filed for trademark, and then, you know, it was ours shortly thereafter. And then challenges came, and It was quite at the time, you know, it's a mountain.
Yeah.
You know? It's like the most insane thing ever. Now it's just kind of part of one part of us doing business. But yeah, it changed the trajectory of that IPA and that and 50% of our sales, really.
Yeah. It's a colossal IPA in figuratively and literally. I say figuratively because it is a David that took down a Goliath.
Yep.
But also, you know, literally, it's one of the consistently top-performing IPAs in Kansas City, and for good reason.
Yeah.
And it's stemmed a whole family of ways. We've gone from Hard Way to Easy Way to Double Secret Hard Way and Pineapple Hard Way and Hazy Way.
Yep.
How many more ways we got, Matt?
Well, Sideways dead forever.
Okay.
And, no, I don't know. That's up to our marketing department now, which we'll see.
Okay. So I know Hazy Way was the most recent one, and we're expecting to see Double Secret here at some point in the near future.
Yes, I do believe that comes out here in the next month.
Fantastic. Let's talk 2021.
Okay.
You know, we started out real real big with the variety packs, and I think it should be reiterated to a lot of people listening that these variety packs are hand packed in the brewery.
Yeah.
Not an easy task.
No.
Come with four different flavors, three core year rounds or seasonal, and then one limited brewery release.
Right. It's got our Love Coffee Stout, Easy Way, Belgian Blonde, and the new release for this one is our Curveball Hoppy Wheat. And it's fantastic, and it hits just in time for the Royals to hopefully start the upswing back up.
It's going to happen. It has to happen.
We were doing so amazing. And, so Curveball is the newest beer to hit the variety packs. I know Central should be getting a ton of those, or just got a ton of them.
Fantastic.
So, those can go everywhere, anywhere, and everywhere.
Talk about having a pulse on the Kansas City beer scene, knowing that a hoppy wheat in a can is very much what everybody wants.
Right, exactly.
So look for that coming to market very, very soon. And what else we have? What new innovations are coming out here real soon?
So the Pub Ale is, I know you guys are stocking, and it has been a local love on tap in Martin City for quite some time. So you guys have that available. Block Party, strawberry lemon, sour is not probably appropriate, but it hits that sour flavor.
Sure.
And I mean it's fantastic, easy drinking if we ever see the 80 degree days in May that we are supposed to. Make sure everybody knows about Block Party. And then
are we expecting to see some Candor here at any point in the near future as well?
I do not know. I know Radical Candor will hit this summer. I don't think, with Double Secret coming soon, it usually hits a month or two after that. So
I think it shouldn't be lost on people, anytime you actually go to the brewery and see the capacity. It's a very impressive building, but also you guys are still a microbrewery, so there's only so much room in the tanks,
right,
to get these things across. And it's impressive, especially with the variety packs, hand packing and everything, and sticking with the year rounds, the cores, Hardway IPA selling at the volume that it does. You got to keep that up for demand.
Yeah, a lot happens in that tiny building. So.
Any plans to maybe expand that anytime soon?
I don't say no as much as I used to, but we are going to continue doing what we do out of that. I mean, we'll have to see what the next, what the next 5 years brings. I mean, I'm not going to stop the progression if it's there. I mean, we'll double down. It's just, where would it go? I would love to take a second crack at building a brewery from all the lessons learned from the first one on how not to do it. So I do believe it will be in my future, but I don't know when.
Okay. That's fair. I know we spent some portion here at the beginning talking about like the previous 5 years and how at the time when Martin City was founded and starting to establish its beer roots here in Kansas City, it was Martin City and a few others, Boulevard obviously, but some others in the market. But now we've transcended that. I think we're over 50 breweries here in the metro now.
Yeah, I haven't kept track any time recently, but there's a lot.
Where do you see the next 5 years going?
The neighborhoods have really owned the brewery nearest to them, and I mean there's some absolutely exceptional breweries out there that I know are not ever going to go away, and there's some really good ones out there that are probably our size as far as capacity that are not pumping out as much as ours, but it's a great product as well. So I don't see, I think the ones that are not producing good liquid won't be here in time. I see a consolidation because this is, in the labor market, we're seeing everything's going up. Labor wages are going up. I think people are going to understand this labor of love that people have gravitated towards over the last, 10 years, really. It's not as, there's not a ton of money in it. I don't know. But, yeah. And with the pandemic, everything got harder. I'm just going round in circles with, I don't know.
That's what we're all doing, ultimately.
We are continuing to do what we're doing. We have a couple more tap rooms opening for sure, which will probably lead to a brewery expansion. What the rest of the world does, I do not have a clue.
Preach.
Our entire world was shut down because of a virus. I'm done guessing.
Let's actually, you know, obviously, I keep saying every single podcast that we're going to not talk about the pandemic, but obviously this just continues
great,
to pop
that's
up.
The last thing I want to talk about.
But you know, we got to mention it just a little bit. You know, yep. let's talk a little bit about how COVID-19 impacted Martin City with kind of how you guys brew. We went from normal times where a portion of it was kegs, a portion of it was cans. Yep. What did that look like, you know, 1 month, 3 months, 6 months into this?
So we are our company is, we're 70% restaurant operations and events, 30% brewery. So our focus during that time had, switched quite a bit. And where we're 50, 50, 40, 60 on and off premise, everything went to off premise. So, we our business model went from 70-30 to about 95-5. and then our packaging went from, no kegs to all cans. So it was a lifesaver for sure. And, I know there's government stimulus there too, but it was a life changer to just have the to be able to do something when much of the world couldn't. We still had an avenue of operations, and then all of the restaurants flipped to curbside and delivery immediately. Pizza mm-hmm. and beer was a great business to be in during the pandemic. So, and we live in the Midwest where we're isolated quite a bit from how the coast had it, Europe had it,
sure.
And we have no downtown presence as far as restaurants. So, we were about as lucky as anybody. I really feel blessed for the last year. But having said that, what's going to happen next? So we rode the wave. I don't want to do it again. We will be just as prepared next time.
Can we get off this ride?
Yeah. I'm happy to hear things are opening up, and everybody's getting vaccinated. So.
What's here? Yeah.
Yeah. Thank every day you have.
Talking a little bit on the kegs versus canning, how much did that impact initially whenever you guys decided to switch almost entirely to canning? Like, does that really disrupt the system of the orders, or what does that look like? Walk us through that.
It certainly disrupted everything, and we don't have a ton of storage capacity, so we're sitting on a couple thousand, which I know compared to some is nothing, but 2,000-3,000 kegs that we have nothing to do with. We have no place to store. You guys were a great partner for that. We went from, and we, keg is kind of sunk costs. So the margin's not as good for us on cans just because it's a lot more laborious. And you run into the can shortage.
Exactly.
So we're wrapping old tall grass cans. We're wrapping Hardway cans again. We got to experience the, is my Operation Yoga Pants really gluten-free? If it went in, are we reusing gluten cans? We're not reusing any cans.
Filled. Yeah, so. Definitely a messaging thing, definitely an actual transport thing.
Yeah.
Has it been difficult to transition back into kegs?
Not at all.
Okay.
all of the transition back has been welcomed and exciting, and everybody was ready to run fast again.
That's awesome, and really glad to hear. Obviously, that's our brief pandemic section of the podcast,
right.
That has unfortunately become a tradition, but it's nice to talk about vaccinations and moving away from that, and the on-premise reopening, and people kind of trying to find some sort of sense of normalcy. During that time, we actually noticed quite a bit too that a lot of people were just reverting back to that comfort level and trying to find, maybe not exploring so much as far as beers and what they're drinking, but more what they were used to, what they knew, and what they were comfortable with. And it was interesting to see the impact that Hardway IPA actually had in that.
Yeah, it was Hardway sales and package were through the roof. It was really quite insane.
It's awesome. I can't overstate this beer enough. It is a fantastic drinking IPA. It's not a hazy IPA. It's not an East Coast New England style that a lot of people are comfortable with. And some people it might be a little intimidating for. But
yep.
If you just want an IPA, this is it, the Hardway IPA.
Yeah.
We talked about the variety packs coming up. We talked about some of the seasonals that are out right now. If I can, because I am who I am, and this time of year always makes me look forward to the Martin beers and Oktoberfest that I'll be sipping on in a matter of months.
Right.
Are we going to see Return of Oktoberfest?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yep. And we're actively looking to expand our lagering capacity because of Yes Way Jose and Oktoberfest and, you know, certain lagered beers. So we probably one dance move away to the final expansion in that facility or outside that facility. But I've said that a time or two before, so we'll see. But absolutely, Oktoberfest, we're planning on a monstrous push this August, September.
I can start to see the wheels turning a little bit in your head, knowing that this is going to lead to a brewery expansion. Little did you know, Matt, that that's actually been my plan all along with this podcast, yeah. Is to get you to expand your brewery.
Get me to admit it. Admit it, think on it, plan it. Yep.
Talking a little bit about distribution footprint, obviously, you know, everybody listening knows about the Kansas City area, but you have expanded since into the entire state of Kansas, right?
We are, yep.
And how's that going?
It's going good. It puts our stuff out there a lot further away.
Sure.
It can sit on shelves longer than we would desire. So, I mean, you know, it's a learning curve for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how, I'm glad people in Topeka and Wichita and Dodge and, you know, Hayes can get it. It definitely, it's a different thing.
Yeah.
You know, I can get to every one of our restaurants within 20 minutes really, and I can probably get to every packaged beer within 20 minutes also, and then we have that. So it's a different mindset and a different business acumen that, you know, we're learning, stair stepping into. We will not be expanding again until there's a new brewery.
Fair.
It's not going to happen, and we don't have the capacity.
Oh, I gotcha. That was actually going to be my next question, was what the next step was be. So wait.
Planning on stopping all of the questions that you're going to know.
Way to just totally curtail my next 5 minutes here.
Yeah, Springfield St. Louis market will not see it this year.
Okay. But next 5-year plan. This sounds potential.
It's possible.
Excellent.
Yes, with the expansion of the brewery, it will be 90% water, seltzer water, and the other 10%.
We joke now, but honestly,
yeah, no, I know.
I think Rob Richmiller, your sales director, and everybody that we know here, was mentioned that you guys have a seltzer on tap in the brewery.
We have. We don't right this second.
How is it going?
Fine.
It's a seltzer.
Yes, fine at best.
What other experimental beers have you guys been putting on tap there in the brew house that might see its way into market here in the near future?
Every time we do our black lager, it gets in. I mean, people in droves, I mean, love that beer. We've done a variation of different hazy IPAs, you know, not the easiest style to perfect. And it's so varied in what the consumer wants. We've also done lighter IPAs. But honestly, post-pandemic, we've been more focused in dialing in what we know and love, just because we don't have as much free tank space as we used to. So I think we have a Saison on deck. And you know they come and go pretty fast now. We have a sour series that's ever rotating. So, yeah, we haven't delved into seltzers recently, and we're probably going to stick to beer until there's a bigger facility to look at stuff like that.
I think there's still a significant portion of the audience that appreciates that.
Right.
You know? Seltzers are great. Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
So is local craft beer.
Yeah.
It's not often that I get the founder and owner and head decision maker of a brewery sitting in here talking podcasts with me. So I'm gonna shoot my shot here.
Okay.
And pitch a concept to you. So I did my research before you came in. Yeah, it's not all Walter Cronkite question and answer session here. You know?
No, we're not getting into weed, Robo. Next question.
All right. Well, there goes my other 10 minutes. I did my research before you came in just a little bit, and you know, research is research. But I learned in my Martin City history lessons that the largest tornado in the Kansas City area ever.
Yep.
Excluding, you know, obviously excluding like Joplin and everything outside of the Kansas City area.
Right.
Actually came through Martin City in the 1950s?
57.
57.
Yep.
There are actually buildings in the Martin City area that you can still see the impact of the damage.
Yep. There's only, a couple that survived.
Crazy.
Right.
This is a huge impact and something that, you know, obviously a lot of people here in the Midwest are interested in because it's the Midwest. We love tornadoes.
Sure.
We love watching them. That's our favorite.
From afar.
Yes, exactly. I like to see them not whenever they're that close, though.
Right.
When are we going to get a tornado beer?
This is your moonshot, huh?
Yeah, is it?
Hey, that you bring up a very good point. Maybe, you know, expect you would want a royalty of this.
No.
Oh, I mean,
no,
you know.
No. Just give me a six pack. I'm good.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question. And Martin City, you know, the Ruskin Heights tornado, it was kind of the epicenter of that destruction in 57. So, you know, it's probably a great idea.
I have a concept.
Yep.
I think you should do not just one beer, but an entire variety pack of different styles. And I don't know what the other three styles will be, but I have one. I think we should do a milk stout and call it Another Cow. Just like the famous line from the movie Twister. Huh? Huh?
Yeah, I love it.
I'm in.
I love it.
I don't need any royalties. You can take it. Yeah, that one's for free.
All right. Another Cow. Got it.
And actually, this does kind of actually perfectly seg into what I was going to ask because, you know, you guys are naming beers left and right. And this has kind of come up in some podcasts previously. But nobody, or at least few people, understand how difficult it's suddenly becoming naming beers.
Right.
With over 8,000, 9,000 craft breweries operating in America,
right.
Everybody's coming out with different styles left and right. What are you going to name all of them whenever all of them are copyrighted at this point?
Right.
How has that process been?
It has been, I can't imagine on a national level what it would be. You know, the good thing, a lot of ours are one-off and we're small enough that, I mean, we do check and do a minor bit of due diligence before that. But if it's something quick and easy and one-off, it, you know, it flies under the radar and nobody cares. And they say, you know, please don't do that again. And we say, okay, we're sorry. But, I mean, you bring up a great point for the next big, you know, Hardway, Abbey, you know, Belgian Blonde, what, you know, whatever it would be that would be outside of a style that we actually have a, you know, a brand name associated with it. It's pretty tough.
How does that actually, like, just out of curiosity, are things like style kind of excluded from the whole naming process? Like, you can't just say, IPA.
It has been, yes, there's literature that says it's kind of outside the, once, a certain California brewery went after the other certain California brewery over the font type of a style that kind of opened the floodgates for, you know, you can call anything the style it is.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I mean, we, you know, we do it like you'd think. We get on, we search the internet first, we search Untappd, et cetera, and then it goes from that. If, you know, we're pretty comfortable with how that goes, and then if we think this is going to really gain legs before we print a truckload of cans or more, we'll get the IP lawyers involved and do our due diligence that way.
That is crazy. The kind of things that you got to take into account running a brewery that involve more than just making sure that the beer gets in the can.
Yeah, for sure.
Have there been any actual hurdles that you guys have come across that are of note? I mean, obviously, aside from the very big one with Hardway IPA.
Yeah, no. The only, when we get to this portion, I love to ring Ninkasi's bell out of Oregon or give them kudos because Easy Way was obviously the next, you know, from Hardway, Easy Way. We found that not only was that taken, it was trademarked. And but it was, they were done using it, or I mean, that's what it said kind of within within the files. And so I made a call and I asked, man, it's going to escape me. I'm not even going to go into it, but I asked for the owner. I forget his name right now, but, and they're like, yeah, you know, I'm calling Boulevard asking for John, you know, they're like, well, what's, and I said, this is Matt Moore, Martin City Brewery in the Midwest. You know, I just want to talk to him about the Easy Way trademark and if he'd have any interest in selling it, and then probably send an email as well. I think they gave me his email, and, it went from that to, Matt, let me, you know, nice to hear from you. I appreciate you asking. Let me talk to the brewers, make sure we have no, you know, plans of resurrecting it. And if not, you know, we'll talk to what it costs us and we'll keep the conversation going. So to have him acknowledge that, I mean, you know, on the rudimentary level, it seems like anybody would do that. I mean, you get a dozen calls a day that are are just, you know, whatever. So he sent that back and then followed up about a month later and said, nobody has any interest in resurrecting this. You know, we'd be happy to sell this to you. This is what it cost. And the cost of it was right around the amount that it would cost to trademark anything.
Really?
And I mean, he could, you know, it's that point. It's like, well, what's it going to cost? You know, like, what's it going to cost? 20 grand, 50 grand. And he's like, this is how much we have into it. You know, if you want to pay that, you know, you can have it and we'll get the attorneys to sign it over to you. And it was like, wow. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Like this is how I hope I would act. But I mean, you know, I don't know this guy from Adam. And it's like,
yeah.
So it was awesome.
I genuinely appreciate that story, because those aren't the stories that you hear in situations like this. You hear about the trademark font type infringements.
Right.
You hear about the Davids going after the Goliaths and vice versa. You don't hear about it actually working.
Yes. So anytime I have a chance to drink Ninkasi, I do. I just.
That's cool.
I think the world of the guy that owns that brewery.
Yeah. That's very, very cool. Yeah. What a good story. Yeah. And that's why we have Easy Way IPA next to Hardway.
And that's why we have Easy Way.
Well, I like that. I like that quite a bit. One last seasonal section to get by here with the winter seasonals. I know Love Coffee Stout made its debut last year to thunderous applause. It sold out very quick.
Right.
And then even in the variety packs, it was a main selling point for the variety packs.
Yep.
Is that coming back?
It's in the variety pack still. It will definitely come back next. It's on the schedule October, I believe. It very well may make its way into our core lineup. You know, my wife and I own Love Coffee. We're opening another Love Coffee as well. We are starting roasting soon. So
nice.
Coffee, for me, and like it is a lot of people, the second liquid only to beer, or the first liquid with the second being beer. So
depends on the time of day.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, you can expect Love Coffee Stout to stick around and be a mainstay for quite some time, whether it hits the core lineup or ends up in a variety pack. And yeah, we will always be brewing it, and for sure the taproom.
Awesome. Yep. Awesome. The harder question is, are we going to see a return of Big Boy?
Big Boy will make a return. We have
that's an audience of one right there. Yeah. That's what I want.
Poitier is coming back. I think you guys will get that very shortly. The problem with the barrel aged beers is the space in the brewery, so
sure.
We have to pick and choose. I know Mr. Vacation is somewhere in the soon to be schedule, Big Boy, but you know, with a brewery expansion, we would have more room for our barrel aged fun stuff. But
that's awesome. That's awesome.
Just tough right now.
I know it's 9:30 here in the morning when we're recording, but talking beers, especially Martin City beers, makes me want a Martin City beer. And this is the problem that we come across here, Matt. This is my interview here.
And here all I brought was coffee.
Not complaining in any way. Is there anything that we really haven't touched on that you were hoping to get into?
No, I mean, I think you know, I want to make sure that. I'd like Hardway to be on tap everywhere I go. I think it should be. So that would be my double down statement for the crew.
Sure.
But I'm happy that we're in most, if not all, stores to be able to get something these days. So with the world opening up and going into restaurants, I look for Hardway and then a seasonal. But
it's cool. It's cool.
Happy to have survived.
It's cool to see the tap handles kind of start to expand. You see more and more Martin City. It's cool to see the shelf space start to expand. It's an awesome thing to watch, especially coming from, you know, 2014, 2015 to here.
Yep.
And, you know, what, the next 5 years? Like you said, we don't know, but I got a good indication.
Right.
Before I let you go.
Butter up.
Five heavy hitters.
I do one thing with every single podcast called Five Heavy Hitters, five totally random, off-the-wall questions that I'm going to ask you, and they just require a response.
You got it.
Anything.
Happy.
Anything. Oh, this is great.
Happy to hear it.
All right. Question number one. If you could only use one word for the rest of your life.
Fuck.
That's it. No question.
No question.
No question.
Sorry.
How do you okay, I'm trying to think of like a way that would work. Okay, let's say you're
it's
in church.
A verb.
Let's
that's
say
an
you're
adjective.
In church.
That's well, I'm not going to be in church and I am very close to Jesus. So I just
All right, that's it. No question. That's the
number
answer.
Two. Yeah, what? Or is every question going to get your spin on it? Yeah,
maybe,
that's the word.
All right. Question number two. What is the funniest review for a Martin City beer you've ever read or heard?
Oh, God. You know, I try to steer very clear of them. I mean, I guess the oddest or funniest is when we opened and we only had Hardway printed, and we would wrap a Hardway can and people would peel the label off. And I mean, they ask if whatever it was, whether it was Abby or whether it was Yoga Pan. I mean, the gluten-free audience was like, how can you put a gluten-free beer in a beer that can that had gluten in it? It's like, this can had nothing in it. Like, how, I don't, you know, I know the process now, but when you're recycling cans, you're not refilling the cans. Like,
can't reiterate that enough.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that would have to be the funniest. And it came full circle with the pandemic when we were filling tall grass cans and labeling over them because we had no other option, and we had to get beer out there. We had to keep the revenue stream going, and people would be like, how are you filling a tall grass can with them labeling over? It's like, man, I'm as green as I could possibly be right now. These cans were over.
Yeah.
Like, so that's a funny thing for people that don't understand what's going on.
That's a good one. I like that. All right. Question number three. We know you're a big one-wheel guy.
I'm a big one-wheel guy.
Big one-wheel guy. There was a huge party. You guys missed it. It was great, though.
Most boring town in America, Martin City. We won. We do have an apparel line coming out, most boring town in America, Martin City. So.
Oh, I can't wait for that hat.
Yeah.
I'm excited. What was your favorite toy growing up?
Oh, well, big wheel.
Big wheel?
Actually, my parents talk about me. I probably went through 8 big wheels. I mean, all the time, I big wheeled. I mean, in how many years do you have to big wheel? Maybe 5. I mean, after that, I was a big bicycler and then moved on to 4-wheelers. But I was always moving. And as a child, a big wheel for sure.
That should not come as a surprise to anybody that knows Matt Moore.
Yeah.
Always moving.
Yeah.
Always moving. All right. Question number 4. Which way should toilet paper hang? Over or under?
There's a special place in hell for the people that have it under. I was at mom's most of the last week, and I was in one of the restrooms. I'm like, what kind of sadistic person is doing this? This isn't my mom doing this. So, yeah, I'm an over.
I've never understood how the under works myself. I don't get it. And I've never heard a good argument for it. Always the over.
Yeah, no, I don't. I try to avoid those people.
That's fair.
The people that think they have a good argument. I try to avoid them.
That's fair.
Unless you're buying Martin City, and then I love you.
Question number 5. What is there a fictional villain out there that you sympathize with? Like, you support their cause.
Fictional villain. Well, what's coming to mind, you know, the last week for me, we were having fun with my father and what his legacy would look like, because he had the uncanny ability to say the word or the words that would make you so – he just had a way to make the room so uncomfortable and just so uncouth. And he was the most lovable guy on the planet. So my brother-in-law is right there, and he – charges into the room. He's like, Captain Awkward here to talk to you about. And then he'd just rattle off whatever profanity or slur. It's just like, oh, my God. I mean, we're just all crying, laughing. So, you know, that's a villainistic, sympathetic.
I dig that. That was not what I was expecting.
Well, I didn't even. You brought it up.
It's true. I don't, you know, granted, there's no cookie cutter response to this, but, you know, some people obviously would be like Darth Vader or Thanos from the Avengers.
Yeah, and
you know,
I haven't been into the stuff near as, since I was a kid.
Oh,
so.
No, that's fine. Create your own. Captain Awkward. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm sure a lot of people can now get into Captain Awkward.
Right.
Bonus question. I got one more.
Yep.
One more. What do you think of when you hear the word classy?
I think of Sidney Poitier.
Okay, class. That's nice. I was just watching a documentary the other day on, like, the golden age of movies.
Yeah.
And Sidney Poitier obviously comes up quite a bit.
Were these questions given to you by Rob?
No.
No.
He did not know.
Yeah, I think of Sidney Poitier and a long drag of a cigarette.
Okay. So
and I don't smoke or condone it.
Is this a frequent topic of conversation with Mr. Rich Miller?
Well, I mean, we have our classy story, but it is much longer than the couple minutes left and a little quasi inappropriate. But
that's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair.
I'll be happy to talk to you about it sometime.
We will have to have that on for the second podcast.
For sure, Sidney Poitier and the classy revolution.
Excellent. I'm so glad that I threw that bonus question in because now I got material.
Yeah.
Matt Moore, Martin City Brewing Company, thank you again for spending some time coming in. I know it's been a rough week, and I genuinely appreciate your time making this happen. This goes out to our sales team. This goes out to Kansas City, and people are glad to hear from you. Martin City, on shelves, more coming. Missouri, Kansas side, and beyond.
Yep, for sure. Happy to do it, Robo. Thanks for having us.
Ounces of Information by Central States Beverage Company.